Like every Monday night, you're checking out Breakfast Soup Raw.
Enjoy as Don Tony spills the soup about pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Soup Raw.
Breakfast Soup Raw.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? The boss is back. It is Sunday. Yeah, I'm in the Sunday frame of mind because of the shirt. Forgive me. It is Monday, April 11th, 2022. Yeah, I'm up here by my lonesome. I don't know if we should call these Breakfast Soup Roar or just call them the Don Tony Show. I am Don Tony, your host for this evening. During Raw, I got a DM from Mish. Couldn't make it up here. All good. I want to thank you all for tuning in. We will talk about Raw tonight. We will talk about a couple other news tidbits as well. Your questions, chat, super chat, we will get into all of them tonight. Obviously, super chats take a little bit of VIP priority. It's only fair, is it? I tell you, you know, an interesting episode of Raw. We have a lot of matches. Confirmed, not confirmed, official, not official, set for WrestleMania Backlash. Quite a few. And, you know, one question that came in right before we went live. And look, during these shows, we talk about whatever is on everybody's mind. So, you know, it's we don't go in order. We talk about the pertinent, important topics. But, you know, one of the questions that came in right before we went live, I think this was from Sal. Should WWE have gone with Asuka instead of Sonya Deville as Bianca's first challenger at Backlash? And honestly, my answer is no. My answer is no. See, the thing that I think everybody needs to remember is the name of their next premium live event. It's WrestleMania Backlash. And if you think of the definition of Backlash and you add WrestleMania to the name, obviously almost all the matches are going to have some tie to WrestleMania. If Asuka would have made her return at Mania, if she would have made an appearance, attacked Bianca, whatever, then I could see it. And yes, Sonya Deville doesn't really have direct connection to Bianca Belair at WrestleMania, although she is involved with giving Bianca the match in the first place against Becky Lynch. So you think of the WrestleMania Backlash mindset, to put Asuka on there, she has no connection with this year's WrestleMania. So I say, all right, look, you give it Sonya Deville. I think we will all agree. You know, we're happy that Sonya Deville is back in WWE. She's been doing a pretty damn good job. She had that, you know, forever feud with Naomi. You give her a little bit of a, you know, rub with this. You know, I don't have an issue with it. However, once WrestleMania Backlash is over, then we start talking. Now you got to get Asuka back in the picture. And look, you know, we talked about it yesterday a little bit. You know, as far as them teasing title unification, listen, everyone, I thought I was pretty clear of what I said yesterday, but I'm going to throw a little bit of a different variation of what I was saying. You know, I don't think anyone out there, look, for years and years and years, we have all said at different times, end the roster split, unify titles. First of all, you got Fox and USA Network. They want their own individual champions. They have no problem with a little bit of storyline as long as champions still appear on their programming. But there is a more deeper problem here. And the problem is, I mean, and it's now kind of wreaked its ugly head with Bianca Belair. Out of the entire women's division, you could only come up with Sonya Deville with a little WrestleMania tie, no rematch with Becky Lynch. You would think a rematch would be apropos. You know, of course, they may want to milk this a little bit further. The problem is Becky Lynch is returning. She's not leaving for 6 months. She's not leaving for a year. She's going to be back sooner than later. So if you don't have Becky Lynch involved in WrestleMania Backlash, what are you going to do? The next pay-per-view? And then you're still going to have Bianca tied with Becky 2-3 months from now? I'm not saying it's not going to be a good match. Of course it'll kick ass. But, you know, WrestleMania is the pinnacle, the peak. Anything that is still a little bit, you know, lingering after WrestleMania should be finished with Backlash. So I'm a little bit torn with that. It also shows you the state of the current tag team division, not only for the women, but for the men. You know, teasing the Usos versus RK-Bro, listen, you know, they're not melting the titles into one. They're not doing it. There's a reason why Roman Reigns is still coming out with two belts, because ultimately he's going to lose one or both belts. They're not going to turn it into one and have one champion on both brands. You know, and it's sad because when you think about it, people out there, a lot of people are more concerned about being proved right. You know, if I say for the next 10, 20 years that I'm going to drop dead, probably going to be right. But you see, even tonight, we talked about it yesterday. Who did RK-Bro face tonight? Alpha Academy. They got nobody else. What did they tease tonight? The Street Profits. They got nobody else. So the Usos versus RK-Bro is putting a Band-Aid on a cut as deep as what Wheeler Utah had on Rampage. There is a bigger problem here. Now, here's my little curveball. Becky, two belts. Did anybody say unification at that time? No. It is a fancy word that WWE is saying right now to make it seem more important. Roman Reigns walking around with two titles in hand is the same thing that Becky Lynch did. If the Usos beat RK-Bro for title versus title and the Usos come out with four belts for a little while, they are doing the same exact thing that Becky Lynch was doing. They're just using cute words to make it seem more important. You should get used to that with WWE. The most stupendous, the greatest of this, the most unbelievable this, the best this, the best in the history of the everything, every year is the best, the greatest, the biggest. You know, so this covers up a more deep problem within WWE. One fool says it's a dumb comparison. How is it a dumb comparison? Tell me where it's different. Tell me where it's different. If they unified the title, then you have one title. You still have two belts. He's walking around with two belts. Whoever, if they do this title versus title teasing, even if it's temporary, there is nothing different with it. Just WWE making it seem more important. You do not want to eliminate opportunity for a lot of wrestlers on that roster. You have one heavyweight title and I was right. Put it down to one belt. Now you just cut every other star trying to become heavyweight champion. You just cut their chances more than half. Because now there isn't a secondary title that they could go for that's a heavyweight. You know, and we're not talking IC or US title. You know, and what's even worse about the storyline is how come Adam Pearce in storyline or Sonya Deville, why would they just sit aside and allow this to go on the TV? So when you really start to dissect it, you know, it's a storyline that sounds more important, but at the end of the day, it's just covering up problems. It is covering up problems. All right, we'll get into some more questions in a little bit. I definitely want to get into Raw a little bit, some news as well. Unfortunately, we do not have any positive update on Shinjiro Otani. He still cannot have any mobility in his extremities, his no feeling in his arms, his legs. He can't move his limbs at all. And, you know, Taz wrote something on Twitter today And I agree. I agree. Unfortunately, usually something like this is said after tragedy strikes. And he feels that any type of suplex or any type of head move into the corner, the turnbuckles, it's very, very dangerous. That whiplash, the spine, you know, it's not meant to bend that way. And look, what happened to Ohtani is terrible. It's tragic. And, you know, it's very rare that an injury like this occurs. But with pro wrestling having 500,000 moves, and yes, I'm exaggerating, why do the buckle bomb in the corner? Why do something that involves the neck, the spine with the corner? Why? You mean to tell me you can't come up with anything else? Did you see that what happened with Big E? And a lot of people feel, look, do we really need that type of a suplex where somebody could just land straight down? And at WrestleMania, didn't Gable Steveson do the same thing to Chad Gable? Sure, Chad Gable weighs a buck 10, but still, you know, you can't ban every move. Wrestling is risky, and accidents will always happen. But in this case, especially that the man is 50 years old, you know, Tani's not a spring chicken anymore. But, you know, just hold out for a miracle. You know, hold out that, you know, maybe in a couple of days he starts to get a little bit of feeling back. But, man, you know, that is just horrible to hear about it. And it's horrible to see almost nobody talking about it as well. You know, but we wish him the best. Nothing but the best. All right. Raw tonight. You know, I don't get, and I said it yesterday, I don't get people criticizing that Cody Rhodes was facing The Miz. You know, yes, I'm a fan of The Miz. I don't hide it. But The Miz has had a pretty damn good career. And you can't have Cody Rhodes, you know, only face the creme de la creme. They want to put him on TV. They want to put him in matches. WWE don't do statistics. He's 3-0. He's 19-0. No, it's the momentum, what feels right. If the person's in the right place at the right time, they need to get his ass on TV and wrestling. And guess what? Him and Miz put on an excellent match. An excellent match. Didn't need blood. Didn't need no crazy spots. And I'm not complaining about those spots. I mean, those matches are obviously memorable. But for WWE, you know it's all storyline driven. And every step along the way is to build a storyline. And I'll lead into this question that came in. Who sent this one in? Because I see it right before. Tommy. Thank you, Tommy. One of my favorites, Alfred Kanoa, said that Cody is so over that WWE should put the title on him as soon as possible. When do I think Cody Rhodes should become WWE champion? In my opinion, SummerSlam or Survivor Series. One of those two events. We know what he wants to do. We know his intentions. He's not going to be heavyweight champion for the majority of his WWE contract, which runs several years. He has outside projects, so he will, on occasion, not be present for TV. He is over right now because the guy is one of the top talents in our game. Look, I'm not going to start gushing over Cody Rhodes because he's in WWE. I've said this many times before. I'm not that big of a Cody Rhodes fan, but I have always said there's no denying that the man has just lit a fire under his ass the last couple of years. He is extremely intelligent. He's extremely talented. And, you know, he definitely is worthy of being a champion. But it's a marathon, not a sprint. See, I'm not speaking for Alfred. I have nothing against Alfred. And I'm not speaking for others. But when I see a comment like that, that, oh, Cody is so over, you put the title on him now, that's the Dynamite mentality. The Dynamite mentality is, non-deep storyline. Why wait 3, 4, 5 months? Throw it out there now. Give it to them on free TV. And WWE is like, nah. We got WrestleMania backlash. Now, remember what I said earlier about the meaning behind WrestleMania backlash. Who is the ideal opponent for Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania backlash? Could only be one of two people. Either Seth Rollins in a rematch, or they could have gone the Kevin Owens route. Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins are best buddies. So Kevin Owens could have had a confrontation with Cody indirectly because of what happened at WrestleMania. Cody could throw an insult about Kevin Owens losing, and, you know, next thing you know, they have the match at Backlash. But Cody versus Seth Rollins, too, you know, I don't think it'll live up to WrestleMania standards, but you know we're going to get a great match. So that match, expect that to be official by next week. And remember, WrestleMania Backlash is May 8th. It's less than a month from now. So you announce the match, you have 2 more weeks to build it, and you're there. There's WrestleMania Backlash. So in my opinion, SummerSlam or Survivor Series. And to be honest with you, I lean towards SummerSlam because Survivor Series is usually champion versus champion. And if you're going to have Cody in a title match at Survivor Series, obviously he would have to be a champion already. So you pretty much, I don't think you could really include Survivor Series. So there's only one pay-per-view for me, and that's SummerSlam. And remember how big WWE treated SummerSlam last year. A lot of people felt that SummerSlam last year was a better event than WrestleMania. Sure, COVID, you know, screwed up last year's WrestleMania a lot as well. Oh, and speaking of WrestleMania, I got to show you something really cool. Mikey is one of our loyal supporters here. He goes back to my hotline days. And few of you that are in the Texas area that went to WrestleMania have offered to send me things to give away on the shows. So, you know, look, over the years, people promise me stuff and they don't do it. They mean well most of the time. Maybe they change their mind. You know, who wants to part with a memory? It's not even just the financial part, because I usually offer something in return. So Mike said to me, DT, I got something for you that has not showed up on eBay yet. He says that it's very, 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 very rare from WrestleMania. And I said, what is it? And he told me, and I was like, I didn't even know those existed. It's not this, but it's hidden inside this. So I said, yeah, man, send it off. I'll be honest with you, I don't want to give them away. So anyway, he sends me this, okay? This is like a, I'm not going to show you the inside yet. I'm going to take it out. But basically, this is like the building. It shows the seating. It tells you about, you know, the tickets. It opens up even more. I don't want to screw it up because we'll probably give this away in the near future. But inside here was this. And I'm sorry for it to be a little primitive. I did get a kick how it says Elite on the front. What is this, you may ask? That is the back of it. He stood at the Marriott Bonvoy hotel card, key card for the hotel. Oops, this is the key card for night one. I dropped it again. I'm all thumbs tonight. That is the key card for night one. And that's the key card for night two. These are the actual key cards to get into the rooms. So I thought that was so freaking cool when I got it today. Like when he sent it, I thought he just sent this. And I was like, oh, that's nice. And then I saw her inside there. So, yeah, so I got WrestleMania programs coming. I have some souvenir cups that a few people said they're going to send. Someone wants to send me both WrestleMania chairs. Those are going to be difficult to give away because the shipping charges get very, very expensive, especially if somebody wins overseas. We don't need to revisit that. But Mikey, thank you very much for that. That was very, very kind of you. When I get the other things, we'll figure out. We'll do a couple of contests. So look out for that. All right. Tonight, no Corey Graves. because we had a few weddings over the weekend. First of all, congratulations to Corey Graves and Carmella. I know it's not the best wedding photo, but I want to at least post something. And that is a crazy ass dress that Carmella is wearing. But very, very cool. They tied the knot. They are on their honeymoon. So Jerry Lawler will return next week. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't think Jerry Lawler was bad tonight on commentary. He was definitely a lot more reserved. You know, a couple of jokes here and there, but he picked his spots a little bit more careful this time around. And he was quite silent during the Bachelorette segments. Because remember, the last time Jerry Lawler really was in commentary, we had that controversy with Akira Tozawa. Anybody remember that? So congrats to them. And also congratulations to Alexa Bliss and Ryan Cabrera. They got married as well. And, I mean, talk about a rock star wedding. They had NSYNC perform. Who else performed? O-Town, never heard of them. Yellow Card, Bowling for Soup, We the Kings. I mean, they had NSYNC playing there. I was never a fan of NSYNC. I was never a fan of NSYNC, but they obviously had a crazy, crazy marriage ceremony. I saw a lot of clips, but I'm assuming, could anyone confirm this? Was Nia Jax the maid of honor, and was Miz the best man, or were they in the wedding party? The only reason why I ask is because a lot of people sent me clips, and I was trying to find just one that I thought everybody would get a good laugh of. And since we haven't seen Nia Jax really, you know, other than a, you know, picture online or something like that, I thought this was a little bit cute. They walked down the aisle together. So they were either in the wedding party or they were best man and maid of honor. I don't know if she was maid of honor, because I'm not saying I had any problem with her dress, but you know, it almost looked like something you would wear, you know, like, oh, I don't know what to wear for the wedding. When you're in the maid of honor, you know, you probably have a specific outfit lined up. But when they came down the rampway, you got Miz doing this, and Nia Jax basically just pushes him aside, and she goes down the ring. Does that look like maid of honor outfit? I say no. So who knows? Who knows? But congratulations. I know. Who cares, DT? Well, guess what? People that are married, people engaged, people that do have relationships, some people care. You know, sometimes you could have nice things and wish them congratulations. But we could move on. We don't need to stay on this topic. So congrats to the couples. We will get Jerry Lawler for one more week. One more week. I'll take questions in a few moments. Let's get into a couple of quick things about Raw. We don't have to get into every little tidbit. And we'll get ratings news, a few other things, and we'll get out of here. First off, we have Raw open up tonight with Miz TV, his guest, Cody Rhodes. And, you know, look, Cody, a little bit more, I think it was it Bubba Ray that said Cody shouldn't use so many fancy words in WWE because of the crowd. I have nothing against Bubba Ray anymore. But what does he think? Everybody in the crowd is 5 years old? I know WWE is more family programming. It's PG compared to TV-14 and AEW. But, you know, you do what you do. You don't have to change it. And guess what? Guess what? Because I know Bubba Ray made this remark that you use fancy words and some kid will go to their mom and dad and say, what does that word mean? Well, guess what? That's good. That's good. Having your kid advance their vocabulary. Now, you don't want any kid to sound like Bob Backlund in class and using all these fancy words, you know, but hey, a little curiosity, as long as it's not a profanity. You know, if Cody's talking to the Miz and he brings up Maris, he's like, hey, Chocho, ain't I? Hey. That's different. You know, but Cody doing a little bit of terminology, that's what makes him comfortable. That's his groove. And Cody tonight playing up with the crowd, Miz accusing him of, you know, trying to steal his thunder. Everybody talking about Cody instead of the Miz after Mania. And guess what? That actually is true. I'm sure you have all seen this by now. That's not a good picture of it. That's a little bit better. Okay. I'm sure you've all seen this photo. WWE touting that they got more social media attention to WrestleMania than even the Super Bowl. We will dissect that a little bit more later on. And yes, I agree with everyone that's going to say it. WrestleMania was two nights, Super Bowl is one, so it's not, you know, the appropriate really to compare. The numbers are still staggering. And one tidbit that I will share with you right now, and we'll get into the specifics later. Cody Rhodes, of all the social media discussions for both nights of WrestleMania, that's including Brock versus Roman, that's including Mr. McMahon, that's including Steve Austin, and Cody Rhodes was number one as far as comments, reactions to the topics that were posted. I think he had over 500,000 reactions to his appearance at Mania. He was number one across everyone. And yeah, you know, you think that because of the controversy with AEW. But remember this too, you know, especially when you talk about young fans out there. I don't know how many young children that were like huge fans of Cody Rhodes or Cody and Brandy. You know, Cody feels more of like that 20-something to 30-something demographic than anything else. So the fact that he was still number one across even Roman Reigns, you know, the head of the WWE, you know, as far as talent-wise, that's impressive. That is impressive. So anyway, Miz and Seth starting to tease that Seth Rollins wants a rematch against Cody Rhodes. That would come into play a little bit later. There's a little bit of tension back and forth. At one point, Cody was making fun of, you know, if Dusty Rhodes was never the son of a, if his grandfather was never a plumber, then Dusty would have never been the son of a plumber and Cody would never been the grandson of a plumber. And Cody bringing like, oh, I'm glad you brought up plumber because right now we're dealing with a piece of shit. But obviously he stopped himself from saying shit because it is family friendly. Can't curse as much. I know MVP said shit lately, but, you know, they're just playing into it. Not a big deal. I don't lose interest or sleep if we don't hear an expletive on TV. I hear expletives all the time. But Cody has made it clear he wants to win the undisputed championship belt. Miz kind of throws it in his face. No, it's not a belt. It's a title. Belts are what keeps your pants up. You know, so that actually is almost like a goof on Vince McMahon. Because Vince McMahon saying belt, that is a sort of banned word in WWE. Just like heavyweight is a banned word in AEW. Now, I don't know if that'll change, but a lot of people to this day still don't realize that heavyweight is a banned word in AEW. Go on their social media. With the exception of, I think, wasn't New Japan. I can't remember what promotion it was, but you go on their social media and check the history of them saying the word heavyweight. Oh, there's a story that nobody has uncovered yet. Chris Perdue, thank you very much, my friend, for the sticker. Much love. Much love. So Cody and Miz exchanging some words, almost going to blows. We have a match later on. Seth Rollins comes out, sits at the announcer's table. Cody Rhodes defeats Miz. Yes, they've faced before, but obviously, you know, Cody Rhodes is a much different wrestler than he was many years ago. His first match on Raw in 6 years. Cody Rhodes wins, and Cody, a little bit distracted, Seth hits the ring. Seth wants the rematch. Seth did not know who his opponent was going to be at Mania. He wants the rematch. Cody accepts. We will have Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes 2 at WrestleMania Backlash. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I like it. Veer Mahan. Anybody getting the Lars vibe yet? And look, I said it last week. I like Lars. Not a perfect person. Learned from his mistakes. Didn't work out in WWE. But I admit, you know, Veer last week gave me that same vibe. You know, squash the legend, squash a little person. Today, oh, we should mention this right off the bat. We had some matches change tonight because of COVID protocol. We're not going to jump the gun and say that Rhea Ripley has COVID. We're not jumping the gun and saying that Rey Mysterio has COVID. They did mention publicly that Rhea Ripley was not appearing tonight because of COVID protocol. She may have been exposed to someone who has COVID. Obviously, this weekend with a whole bunch of events going down privately, you know, the fact that she is not a TV, you know, makes me think that it's probably somebody very, very close in the inner circle, maybe in the last 24 hours, who showed symptoms today. You know, if she would have been diagnosed with COVID or if this would have been a few days earlier, she probably would have had fellow wrestlers that may have needed to take a little bit of COVID protocol for a day or two also. So the matches that were changed tonight, obviously no women's tag team title match. That will happen next week. That will happen next week. Also tonight, instead of Rey Mysterio getting squashed by Veer Mahan, Dominic Mysterio got squashed by Veer Mahan. And he was stretchered out. No Rey there, obviously, to go in the ambulance with his son. But you know next week, if Rey is good to go, Rey will confront Veer Mahan for what he did to his son the week before. And Veer Mahan will probably beat the living daylights out of Rey Mysterio as well. So we probably will get Veer Mahan versus Rey Mysterio next week. Listen, I'm not even going to get into the COVID stuff anymore. You got variants. You know, it's going to be around for a few years. We've already talked about it. There's no vaccine in the world that we, even when we were babies, there's no vaccine that it protects you 100%. So, you know, you try to have some form of protection for it. You be careful. You live your life, but you also keep aware of your surroundings. You're around people and you see people coughing up a lung, or if you, you know, you'll get into somebody's face. You know, be responsible. Be careful. There's a lot of you out there that were extremely careful and unfortunately still got COVID. Doesn't make you imperfect. It doesn't mean you did anything wrong. You just be careful as much as you can. That's it, period. So Veer Mahan squashes Dominic Mysterio. And I like how they're bringing up his million-dollar arm. That is something, if you paid attention to these shows the last couple of months, I say, I hope they bring up his million-dollar arm. Let people Google it. Let people just see what his background is in the Pirates organization, the movie that was based on Veer Mahan. That is awesome. And I love that they were bringing that up tonight. I enjoyed that very, very much. Very much. But they asked him after Dominic was stretched out, put in an ambulance, you know, why did you do what you do? Why did you do that? I strike fear into every man. And then he had that orgasmic look on his face that we have seen leading up to Veer Mahan on Raw. So, look, impressive 2 minutes, but I don't know. There's a lot of piped-in boos today. I had a few people who were at Raw that were DMing me throughout the show, and two people that don't know each other, they said, you know, they piped in boos tonight for Veer Mahan. He was not that over as far as a heel. And, you know, I just remember when Lars first came to the main roster and they were trying to do what they did with the Hardys and everything. It didn't work. Didn't work. I mean, I hold out hope. Everybody is different. But I don't know, man. I mean, I was looking forward to Veer. You know, you give him a little bit more of a leash, obviously. You don't bury him after a week or two. But, you know, let's see what happens. He's going to squash Rey. And then what? I will say this, R-Truth, be careful, R-Truth, because you know that WWE is going to feed R-Truth to Veer Mahan. Reggie will probably be victim to Veer Mahan. Some people, you know, are destined to meet Veer. Veer. All right. Obviously, if you saw the thumbnail for tonight's episode, I had to change it because a dual co-hosted debate show turned into a single hosted show. So, but when I put the thumbnail up, you know, I was taking some screenshots from tonight's Raw. And see how cool it is when you use the right lighting? I mean, people were getting freaked out with Damian Priest with that evil look. People are thinking like, oh, he's turning into the Undertaker. He's turning into a vampire. He's turning. No, it's just fluorescent light. He's got the guyliner. He's got some of that makeup on the face. You put that in fluorescent light, it gives a really nice look to it. And that's what they did. The only thing that sucked about it was the match with AJ Styles went nowhere. Where did AJ go? Did he get sucked up by a vacuum? You know, it just was like, what, you know, of course they didn't want the match to continue. They wanted to extend another week or two. But I was really looking forward to seeing AJ Styles versus Damian Priest. And, you know, it went for a little while. And the next thing you know, the lights go down and Damian Priest looking evil. Beautiful visual. Beautiful visual. And, yeah, I don't think it looks anything like the House of Black anymore. You know, it just, and the House of Black is not even original. And this is not even original. Everything that you see today is kind of like a hybrid of what we've seen in the past. You know, but it was good while it lasted. No Edge tonight. Edge is not going to appear on every single Raw. You know, they'll probably be back next week. And who knows, maybe a few other people were kept off for COVID protocol. I'm not trying to insinuate anything with Edge, but he doesn't need to be on TV every single week. Just I wish this match would have gone a little bit longer. So, but it was good while it lasted. We'll probably get a rematch next week. Tommaso Ciampa, I don't know why everybody was reporting today that he's making his Raw debut. He's been on the Raw roster for several weeks. He had his last match at NXT Stand and Deliver. Everybody knew that. Everybody knew he was going to be 100% on Raw afterwards. I don't know why people made a big thing today. And once again, all the clickbaiters were convincing you that they were changing Ciampa's name. They did not change Ciampa's name. Yeah, they kind of used him a little bit goofy tonight. He did work main event, though. He beat T-Bar in a main event. Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz beat the Hurt Business also for main event, if anybody wants to check it out. I'm getting to Austin Theory. I'm getting to it. So Tommaso Ciampa being interviewed, welcome to Raw. And before he could say anything, Ezekiel shows up. And Ciampa, you know, Ezekiel welcomes Ciampa to Raw. Ciampa thanks him. Then Kevin Owens shows up. Listen, man, everybody knows how much I love Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is probably top five on Raw. I don't even think that's an argument that anyone would have. But why is he so obsessed with Elias and Ezekiel? I know they have history. I mean, I remember the Elias segments where Kevin Owens was in the ring also and everything. But Kevin Owens obsessed to prove that Ezekiel is Elias. Anyone else getting Mr. America vibes with Vince McMahon? Anybody remember that? When Vince was convinced that Mr. America was Hulk Hogan and they did the lie detector stuff and everything like that? That's the vibe I'm getting right now. Do you really need Kevin Owens? It just makes him look like a buffoon. Because next week on Raw, they're going to do a lie detector segment. I'm not crapping on this. I said last week, and I doubled down yesterday, I think this Ezekiel Elias stuff has the potential to be comedy gold. I don't mind a little comedy of wrestling, as long as it is done in little drips and drabs. But I think that this could be a a hell of a lot funnier than what is expected next week. The only problem is it almost makes you feel like Kevin Owens comes off as a buffoon. Of course it's Elias. Everybody knows it's Elias. You know, I mean, it just gives me that Vince McMahon, Mr. America vibes. And yeah, it's lighthearted, it's goofy, but we're getting a lie detector segment next week. We're also getting a double wedding next week. I expect 24/7 title to come into play next week. I don't think anyone is going to get married. I think we're going to have some, you know, whacked out shit go down. Tonight on Raw, they had a double bachelor party and a double bachelorette party. And first we see the guys leaving a club, and it's mostly Reggie. And you, as you could see, I'm doing this on memory. I couldn't take tons of notes tonight. I was prepared to have a discussion show with Mish. I wasn't going to start writing essays. I'm doing this on memory. But they leave the club, and it's Reggie, it's R-Truth, it's Tozawa, and a few other people. And R-Truth is concerned. How could you leave the 24/7 championship to a bunch of bachelorettes? And R-Truth is concerned that somebody is going to do something with that championship. And they're going to show up at the bachelorette party. So meanwhile, later on, we see the bachelorettes at a bar. We don't get any strippers, obviously, because this is WWE PG friendly. But we do get a kiss cam. We get Humberto Carrillo and we get Angel Garza. They kiss on the cheek, Dana Brooke and Tamina. You know, lighthearted, cute segment. Nikki A.S.H., as goofy as this sounds, she shows up in her superhero outfit. And, you know, it's obviously all a setup for her to try to win the 24/7 championship. She does not succeed. And then they do this stupid segment that we always see in movies. Tamina puts her on the bar. And then Nikki actually goes like this, like you're flying. But instead, okay, push me down the bar table so I can get all the glasses and all the stuff in my face. And wow, these parties were very close to each other because just like that, you got R-Truth there, you got Reggie there, you got everybody there. And R-Truth with some type of a speech, like talking about the 24/7 title, that that's his baby. And that, you know, the 24/7 title is not what brings us all together. It's love. He pulls out a certificate that he can officially officiate the weddings. And he declares next week on Raw, he is going to marry both Dana Brooke and Reggie. It's kind of a spoof if you think about it, because this weekend we had Alexa Bliss and we had Carmella get married. Who knows? We might find out later that this whole goofy wedding stuff might have been funny tributes to Carmella and Alexa Bliss. I don't know. But that's what we got. Naomi beating Liv Morgan, 2-minute match. This is just to eat up a week. You know, obviously we had Liv Morgan win on SmackDown Friday to give that suspension of disbelief that maybe Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan have a shot to win those tag belts. We know it's going down. I'm going to keep saying it. Finn Balor, we want him to turn. We want him and AJ Styles to take on Edge and Damian Priest in an upcoming match. Maybe you do it at the pay-per-view. And then Finn Balor turns on AJ Styles. Finn Balor joins Edge and Damian Priest. He doesn't have to be the Demon, but he could be a dark version of the Demon. I think Finn Balor as a heel, even though he is one of the most over wrestlers in WWE, that gives him a whole new crop of people to face. Give it to me, WWE! Give it to me, damn it. All right. So now we get a couple of segments. Bobby Lashley, we've talked about it many times before. MVP really covered up some of Bobby Lashley's not so great speaking skills. And it happened tonight a little bit as well. Early on, when you let Bobby Lashley be pissed, and kind of ad-lib, Bobby Lashley's okay. But when you force Bobby Lashley to use forced lines and phrases, Bobby Lashley demanding a reason why did MVP do what he did, and he started mumbling over his words a little bit, and it got a little cringy. But luckily, when MVP came out, you know, they really amped it up a notch. And look, those guys truly love each other. They really, truly care for each other. They're out for each other's benefit. So Lashley insists MVP come out. MVP ultimately comes out. And he feels that Lashley does deserve an explanation. First off, MVP claims that when he came back to WWE that Bobby Lashley was floundering. Somehow TikTok got involved with this. And he says that he made Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley's like, you made me? And MVP's like, I made you. And you didn't even want to share the WrestleMania spotlight with me. So, you know, that's the obvious reason. MVP's telling Lashley, I made you almighty. And Bobby Lashley, you know, letting him just talk without extremely fed lines. That MVP, when he came back originally, he came back for his farewell tour. They didn't bring up, I don't remember him bringing up MVP's son. But Bobby Lashley brings up beating Brock Lesnar. You understand how important that match was for Bobby Lashley's Hall of Fame career. MVP reminds Bobby Lashley that he did all what he's done recently with MVP. And MVP wraps this up with, that was the past, this is the present, and Omos is the future. He puts over Omos, and Bobby Lashley finishes his side of this by saying that after he's done with Omos, he's coming after MVP. Now, MVP right now, I don't believe, is 100%. I don't believe he can wrestle right now. He obviously attacked Bobby Lashley last week and looked pretty good doing so. But as far as a full match, I don't think just yet. So, look, I know a lot of people are not thrilled about Bobby Lashley going at it with Omos for a little while. But this is what you get. That's why I even say you start eliminating championships. You know, I mean, you're really hurting some opportunity for some people. I'm not saying that Bobby. Look, tonight. Dark match, you had Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns. That was the dark match tonight on Raw. I don't know what the outcome was. I mean, Roman Reigns either won or he would have lost by DQ. But the thing is, Drew McIntyre, I mean, we know that right now there's no way that he could be in line for a heavyweight championship again. But you have only one belt instead of two. You eliminate his chances of ever becoming heavyweight champion in the immediate future. You cut those dramatically. You only have one title, and you have all these major events down the line. How does he fit in? The only way somebody like him could fit in is with a 2-3 week run at the most. Does anybody really want that? I don't think so. Eddie K with the super chat. Much love from Detroit, Michigan. Eddie, I hope you enjoyed Raw tonight. Eddie was live at Raw, I believe. So I hope you had a good time. Bianca Belair beating Queen Zelina like this. Not for the title, but just, you know, Bianca obviously much better now. Remember last week, they didn't want anything physical with Bianca because of her eye. A week later, obviously the eye looks a lot better. She makes quick work of Queen Zelina. And before the match happens, Sonya Deville is in the back, and she says to Adam Pearce, she's holding a contract. You can't see it. It's in a binder. She says, I have the perfect opponent for Bianca Belair for that championship. And she went ahead and, you know, set it up and everything, and Adam Pearce is like, you know, without my approval, blah, 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 fine. So she's going to announce Bianca Belair's next opponent outside after Bianca's match. So Bianca makes quick work of Queen Zelina. Sonya Deville comes out, and she puts over Bianca Belair, puts over Mania, and she starts running down a whole bunch of names. Almost every female you could think of, she runs them down as far as like potential candidates to face Bianca. Obviously, some are not there because of marriage, honeymoons and stuff, but she's got the perfect opponent for Bianca. And she tells Bianca, if you're a fighting champion, if you're the EST, if you're the greatest, this and that, then you will sign this right now. So Bianca's like, oh, I know what you're doing. All right, I'm smart to the game. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. I'll fight anybody. So she signs the contract. And then Sonya Deville announces her opponent for WrestleMania Backlash. And we knew right then and there. We knew right then and there. When she said trendsetter and she talks about some of, you know, a year ago. And you remember Sonya Deville came back about a year ago. And she's putting herself over. But the way the camera is set, we expect somebody to come up the rampway. And Sonya Deville just backs up a little bit, similar like what MVP did last week. And with Bianca Belair back facing Sonya attacks Bianca Belair. Sonya Deville is Bianca's next opponent. This is to get through WrestleMania Backlash. I hate calling some events throwaways, but WrestleMania Backlash is a throwaway. In many ways. I mean, there's a couple of matches you know are going to be bangers. But, you know, this is just to get through WrestleMania Backlash. But like I said, you know, I don't like the idea of prolonging a rematch with Becky Lynch and Bianca. And it almost feels like that could somehow go into the summer. And even if you have Asuka come back, when Becky comes back, she wants her title. You do a three-way, a four-way? I don't know if a lot of people really want to see that happen. Mystery Man T-Bar for the main event tonight, losing to Tommaso Ciampa. Next week, we're getting a United States title match. Finn Balor will face Theory again. Out of everything that we would have complained about tonight with Raw, this one takes the cake. I get it. Steve Austin came back, had his swan song in the ring, had an amazing two nights, gave everybody what they wanted and then some. Steve Austin will still be, you know, like his name will be kept alive, obviously, more than in recent years. But this weird, you know, concept with WWE that there can't be two Austins that are talked about. And tonight, when Austin Theory was granted a title shot next week against Finn Balor, Austin Theory stopped Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce and said, no. You could call me Theory. I think that I just closed my eyes and just picture the announcer saying, now coming to the ring, weighing so-and-so down, Theory. This is going to sound like Mustafa Ali. Do you remember when they stopped calling him Mustafa and they just called him Ali? When I first heard it, please, anybody that's soft, sensitive, forgive me if I trigger you. But when I first heard it, it sounded like they were announcing a Japanese name. Ah, Lee! It still sounded like two fucking names. They took Mustafa out of his name and they called him Ali. I mean, it just didn't sound right. They gave it back to him. Now they took both names away. But I just picture the commentator saying, Theory! I honestly, when I heard Gunther, I was fine with it. You remember that? I like Ludwig much better than Marcel. But this is horrific, horrendous. One of the brightest stars of tomorrow. Just imagine if Austin Theory builds and builds and builds, and he becomes that bigger and bigger and brighter, bigger, brighter star of tomorrow. And throughout that time, we're going to just call him Theory. It sounds awful. He's got to have his fucking first name. My gut feeling, I think WWE, what they will probably say is, we should have never called him Austin in the beginning. It's probably what they're going to say. Damn it. Should have never called him Austin. No one should be ever be called Austin except for one. But I think they're going to be forced to go back to it. I mean, unless there's a middle name that we don't know about, you could call me my middle name. You could call me Jack Theory. I'm just throwing a random name out there. I hate it. I hate it. I do not want to just hear Theory. That just sounds awful. Again, I have no problem with name changes, but that one just sounds awful. It's awful. So, just to wrap up the Raw recap, we'll get into a couple of questions as well. We had RK-Bro defeat Alpha Academy. Yeah, I saw a lot of people saying it tonight, and it's true. We feared it. We talked about it yesterday quite a bit. You know, their matches are entertaining. No question. Chad Gable eating another RKO from Randy Orton. But if you've watched one of these matches recently, they're all the same. You know, a lot of beatdown to Riddle, hot tag to Randy Orton, same sequence, this and that. If it's not broke, you don't try to fix it, obviously. The crowd still loves it. You know, back when they used to do a lot more house shows, every house show would have the same match. They might try something here and there to experiment, see if it's good, and then they bring it to TV. But here it feels like, okay, we're seeing all the house show matches, but on TV. So it feels like you're watching the same thing over and over again. So while this is going on, the Usos show up to continue the storyline that we talked about over the weekend. And, you know, we don't need to bring up again about the, you know, titles versus titles. But the Usos are there. Roman Reigns was there too, but as I said earlier, dark match, not for TV. But Usos come out and they have a little confrontation with RK-Bro. They want RK-Bro's titles. Now, common sense storyline, you expect to see Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville come out, but no, they don't come out. The ice cream truck was outside. They were busy. You know, there was a hot dog cart outside. So what happens is Street Profits come down. Street Profits acting a little bit heelish, you know, even though they're not heels. And as you saw tonight, they're really not heels, but, you know, they just don't know how to incorporate them. They feel that they should have gotten the title shot. Alpha Academy screwed that up and it got old, blah, 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 blah. So Randy Orton, the manipulator that he is, he sees that the Street Profits and the Usos are jawjacking each other a little bit. So Randy Orton comes up with an idea. How's about we get the Street Profits versus the Usos tonight? And the announcers are teasing it that whoever wins will go on to face RK-Bro, which is stupid when you think about it because the titles were not on the line tonight. And wouldn't RK-Bro want the Usos to win? Because then they would have the capability of becoming double champion. But we get the Street Profits versus the Usos. Excellent match. Excellent match with a predictable outcome because we know what WWE is trying to do for WrestleMania Backlash. The Usos get the win. After the match is over, you know, we get a little teaser of the Usos and RK-Bro, Street Profits get involved a little bit. And, yeah, it looks like they're going that route. And like I said, this is a Band-Aid covering up a big open wound. That tag team division, you would think that there's only four tag teams in all of WWE. This is horrific. Angel Garza and Humberto, they're busy kissing people. The Viking Raiders are pretty much done. If you put the Grizzled Young Veterans on the main roster, I mean, it's how do they get a suddenly click with everybody unless they're dressed like clowns? Gunther and Ludwig have to obviously get a lot of time on TV. Boogs is out with an injury. New Day, they don't want New Day and the Usos again. Fans wouldn't mind it, but we've seen that 915 times. So you see the big problems that are going on. This is just to, look, if you really think about it, the Usos versus RK-Bro, it's probably the best match that you could come up with right now. I'm not against it. But again, if you have one team holding both titles for a few months, because the idea is for them to hold them until summer, that eliminates a set of tag titles that teams that might be a little bit close have no shot. Are the Street Profits going to replace New Day and start getting that push? And they will be the ones to dethrone the Usos? That is possible. But what happens along the way? And what happens to any other tag teams that are trying to get any momentum? So, shout out to Nero Fay. Today is chemo day for him. Got four more to go. Keep at it, my friend. Keep battling. I'm telling you, a month from now, we're going to look back on that. We're going to be like, adios, chemos. Adios, chemos. All right, let's get into some quick questions. We'll talk about those metrics that we were talking about earlier with WWE touting some crazy-ass numbers. Little preview for NXT, a little preview for Dynamite. And then I want to just get into about Scott Hall being laid to rest. I brought it up briefly yesterday. This was something I really wanted to have a convo with Mish about tonight, but you know, we're still going to talk about it. Before we get into that, I see a couple of bebops going on. What school did you go? Wow, he is back. What school did you go to? Has not been around for a while. Bop, bebop, QT Marshall, not a ratings drawer. Tell me something I don't know. QT Marshall, look, I hear he's a great teacher. In the school, I hear QT Marshall does great things. And they reward him by doing some stuff on TV. But there's a reason why QT Marshall never made it an impact, never made it in WWE, never made it in NXT. You know, he is the perfect heel for a bullshit indie federation. And I'm not saying that really is a knock on him. You have any local indie fed in your hometown, he is the quintessential, like, no-name heel that actually could go a little bit and give you an entertaining match. But at the end of the day, you'll be in a diner like, wow, that was a great night tonight. Who's that guy again? Like, who's the guy that had the QT on his tights? Oh, that's QT. Imagine that. Your name is only two letters and people forget it. Another beep, bop, beep. Crazy Cruiserweight. Dark and Elevation, not worth watching. Beep, bop, beep. Dark and Elevation are dark matches, and it's supposed to be elevating to the next level. Somehow, AEW really got their eye off the ball with that. If Dark and Elevation were used the right way, I don't think anybody would have a problem with it. And it, you know something? It's actually pretty cool to see some wrestlers of tomorrow, you know, getting their start, getting a little bit of work and getting a little bit of experience, but it has totally shifted. They use those to pad numbers. And can I say something? I'm not taking credit for this. And you know, by tomorrow, it'll probably be up. But you know what I noticed? We didn't see any rankings come out for this week. And I've said for the last couple of weeks, people always say to me, DT, what's the first thing you would change if you could do anything for AEW? Because I want AEW to succeed. Now, I criticize where needed, but I want to see it succeed. I would get rid of the ranking system. We don't need to know that someone is 15-1 in their last 16 matches. And then you realize that 90% of those matches were against Jose Cuervo's number two, Joe Schmuck, you know, Lisa Lips, you know, like their names, it's just padding numbers. And you could see that. Oh, we want to give this part. That's why you're going to see, like, Wheeler Yuta. You know, again, I'm not knocking the guy. He had a banger on Friday. You know, but if he suddenly becomes 11-0 because he's under the tutelage of Moxley, Danielson, and William Regal, I want to see those 11 wins be against quality opponents. I don't want to see Jack Splatt, Aaron Solo, Greenhouse number 5 and 15 and 6. I want to see quality names. Then we talk. Then we talk. Bob the Builder. Mish left me high and dry, and that's not fair. If you want to say it that way, that is your right. I am not saying it that way. Real life does get in the way sometimes. It is what it is. But I'm here, and that's what matters, right? AS7607 says Ezekiel looks like LA Knight with a wig. He does a little bit. But like I said, if you go back to Chris Benoit 1993 and you look at his physique, you look at his hair, and you just replace the face. Put it this way. If Chris Benoit was still alive and was not the psychopathic murderer that he was, unfortunately, if he was still alive and he went on Reface and they changed his face with Rico Constantino or Simon Dean. If 1993 Chris Benoit downloaded the Reface application and say, hey, I want to look like Simon Dean, that is Ezekiel. I'm telling you, go back and look at Simon Dean's face or Rico Constantino, especially Simon Dean. And I'm telling you, it's scary. Chris Benoit, 1993, and Simon Dean's face. That is the ultimate combination. So, all right. For everyone in the chat, if you have a question, all I ask is you put the capital word question before it or capital Q so it stands out a little bit, because a lot of you converse with each other. But again, if you post a question, you know, you don't have to spam it. But at the same time, you know, just post one so others could get a question in as well. And then we'll get into some stats. We'll preview NXT and AEW, some ratings. You know, we could do some ratings right now. Rampage Friday. Wait a minute. That's not the right. Oh, fuck. I didn't update the ratings because I had to change the templates when Mish told me he couldn't show up today. All right. Well, I could tell you from memory. Rampage did 600,000. That is a nice increase of about 144,000 from the week before. You know, that's nice. And it's like the highest rating since January. But keep in mind, it's still only 600,000. I mean, I always said from the beginning that their goal should be 700,000-800,000. It's between 700,000 and 800,000. But I think that when you look at the roster, you know, and again, that's bullshit. Anybody compares ratings from a year ago, that's bullshit. You don't have CM Punk. You don't have Jeff Hardy. You don't have Adam Cole. You don't have Bryan Danielson. You don't have William Regal. You don't have Keith Lee. You don't have Swerve Strickland. You don't have Ruby Soho. You know, I just could go on and on and on. I could name 40 plus people that were not there a year ago. So that's why I don't compare ratings from a year ago. But you look at all the people that are on there now and you only draw 600,000. To me, that's not acceptable. And that's why you're getting Adam Cole versus Hangman Page on Rampage this Friday. That rating, if anybody's an AEW fan out there, if you truly want to support AEW and you feel ratings matter, you better make sure that you're tuning in. If you have a Nielsen box, obviously, you better tune in Friday. I'm not telling anyone to tune in if they don't want to. But if that rating draws a shit number, that just throws worse shade on Hangman Page. I don't care how nice of a guy he is. I don't care about a 2-year-long storyline or anything like that. I mean, it's pretty obvious that Hangman Page is not the focal point of Dynamite episodes. It's more fulfilling Tony Khan's fantasy matches when he was a younger fan. I mean, like I said, over the weekend, the Butcher and the Blade versus the Hardys this Wednesday was like, and Suzuki versus Samoa Joe Wednesday, which I think will be good. But this feels like these are Tony Khan fulfilling his fantasies, matches that he always wanted to see with him in charge. How many of you out there ever played a baseball game and you did the GM, you played GM, or you do a football league or fantasy sports. You're the GM. See, you always loved these players, but you always fantasized what would happen when you were the boss. And now you have the opportunity for your favorites throughout your fandomhood to now do it for you. This is more fantasies being fulfilled. And the idea is, well, they're so good, you should like them as well. And most times that does come into play. But if that rating Friday sucks, that says a lot about Hangman Page truly as AEW champion. Not saying that he's not good, but you know, you would think that your heavyweight champion would bang a nice number, whatever show he or she is on. So, no, I am not a bot, Elijah. I am not a bot. I am very much human. Hey, I'll even say it, man. This Wednesday's Dynamite does look good. It looks like a nice card. Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland versus Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs. Minoru Suzuki defending the Ring of Honor World TV title versus Samoa Joe. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus defending the tag titles against Red Dragon. Eddie Kingston, Santana and Ortiz versus Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, and Daniel Garcia. And then we have MJF versus Captain Sean Dean. With all due respect, the probably bathroom break match, although you know Wardlow is going to be in the back throwing security guards into locker rooms, you know, and shit like that, which is fun. But if you keep doing it every single week, you know what's going to happen this Wednesday? Wardlow needs to be stopped. He needs to be arrested. He needs to, something needs to stop him. Can't just have 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row. This is not Austin. You know, where Austin's showing up to fuck with Mr. McMahon. You know, this is not the same. It's got to get to a point where, you know, he is stopped. And by him being stopped, people will want it even more. So hopefully this Wednesday, they realize that. And hopefully this Wednesday, Wardlow will be temporarily stopped. We'll see what happens. So, hey, Mark Ness says the Jericho match is the only one that's worth watching for him. If that's what you're looking forward to, that's cool, man. Because a lot of people, you know, feel different about different matches. So it's a little something for everyone. I really can't complain. Don't forget this Thursday. Don't forget this Thursday. Joe Cronin will be joining me. I don't have the exact start time yet. I'm working around his schedule. In the community section right here on YouTube, you have the opportunity to submit a topic or a question you want us to get into. We will choose the best ones that are sent in. And do it quick, because Thursday is less than 72 hours away, and we definitely need a day to like prepare and think about stuff. So by tomorrow night, Tuesday night, get your question in or comment. So, all right. NXT on Tuesday, we're going to determine new tag team champions. And obviously, I don't understand. I mean, I don't, there's no excuse for that. There's more. There's more. I am not the disgruntled wife. I am not a private party. Not, no intention for the tag team name, but it's not for me to reveal stuff that hasn't been made public. But apparently there's a lot more that WWE is aware of, and it's not just that picture. Apparently there's other stuff. I just look at that and I'm like, I don't care if it was 10 years ago. I don't care if it was 5 years ago. You know, you're a preteen and you make a mistake, that's different. But to be shaving your mustache and you're halfway done and you're like, hey, honey, look, pose a picture. Like, when is that ever funny? It's just ridiculous. So they're gone. Well, the tag team is gone. Wesley is still there. On Tuesday, they're going to determine new tag team champions. They're doing a gauntlet match. 5 teams, and the teams that will be involved in the gauntlet match are Grayson Waller and Sanga, Legado del Fantasma, the Creed Brothers, Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen, and Pretty Deadly. I said last week, out of all the teams, even though I don't feel that they're exactly ready, I say give it to the Creed brothers. I would argue for Legado del Fantasma, but they've had them already. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to Pretty Deadly and the Creed brothers. The problem is, you know, that's a storyline that just begun. And if they already have a match, first of all, I don't know if anybody really wants Pretty Deadly to be the tag champs. But then again, it's developmental, so it doesn't matter. You're just trying to develop stars of tomorrow. But that's what we got to look forward to tomorrow. They're calling it, what, Championship Tuesday? Championship Tuesday. All right. Let me get two more topics. We're at an hour and 15 minutes. Then I'll answer a couple of questions, and then we will call it. Here, once again, is the stats that WWE is touting. And I read the whole press release, and obviously I'm not going to read every single item. But what they did was they compared the Super Bowl's social media numbers to WrestleMania. Yes, it's two nights compared to one, but still, even if you want to cut these numbers in half, it's still insane when you look at these numbers. WrestleMania weekend drew a combined 2.2 billion impressions. Billion. Don't give me the bot shit. Don't give me the bot shit. There's bots all. How many people online tonight trashed Raw, trashed everything, trashed Cody's pyros, trashed segments on Raw? Every week, trash, trash, trash. It happens with everything. It happens in football. It happens in baseball. It happens in politics. It happens in music. It happens in movies. It happens amongst regular people. There's always, when you have success, there'll always be people that'll throw shade. If you, no one has 100% approval rate, there'll always be haters. Just because Tony Khan thinks that everybody should orgasm at what they see doesn't mean that everybody will. And the opposite. Just because people think that WWE is 10 times more entertaining doesn't mean that it is, you know. But to just write it off that it's bots and it's haters and it's trolls, you know, it's just asinine. It's asinine. But you had WWE amassed 1.1 billion video views. This is a publicly traded company. They can't lie about the numbers. Maybe bots did reload, but you're not going to do that hundreds of millions of times. It's crazy. 13.1 million hours of video watch time. You had 618 million views that they combined with both nights, approximately 156,000 paying fans attended. Yes, if you went to both nights and you bought tickets for both nights, you are considered two paying customers. That only makes sense. If you walk into a restaurant and you buy food and you leave and you come back the next day and you buy food, you are two paying customers. That's how it is. I mean, shouldn't be any argument there. Now, WWE had a 47% increase of views for this year's WrestleMania across Facebook, Instagram, Snap, TikTok, and Twitter compared to WrestleMania 37 from last year. When you think about the fact that more people were home last year, a lot of people still were not going out because of COVID, that is extremely impressive, 47% increase. The two most engaging posts from WrestleMania, number one was Cody Rhodes with 500,000 engagements, and Vince McMahon, Austin Theory, 450,000 engagements. The other matches that were high on the list as well, Steve Austin and Kevin Owens, Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Those were the noteworthy other ones. They didn't give any numbers behind it. So very, very impressive numbers. Very impressive numbers. So one last thing before we get into a couple of questions. I mentioned this yesterday, and I'm sorry for bringing it up again, but as I said, I wanted to show you the picture. And this I was really hoping to have a conversation about with tonight. Scott Hall was laid to rest over the weekend. And his friends were at the cemetery. Scott Hall was laid to rest. Kevin Nash was there, Diamond Dallas Page, X-Pac, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Scott Hall's son, Cody, and they were at the burial, and they posed for a picture. And very, very weird situation went down on social media, more than you will ever imagine. You go look, and it's kind of, I think it's in a weird department. This is, let me post a little better picture. There you go. This is them at the gravesite posing for a picture. I mean, Kevin Nash, obviously, it looks like he was just sobbing. Diamond Dallas Page smiling, X-Pac. And a lot of people on social media were going out of their way to say how uncomfortable they felt about this picture, that people should not be smiling at a funeral. Now, as I said yesterday, and I'll say it again here, everybody grieves differently. And if you remember that Monday night where we did the show here and we talked about Scott Hall passing away, if you remember, and if you look at the title, I never changed it, I said this was a celebration for Scott Hall. This was going to be a celebration here. We weren't going to, and I specifically said, we're not going to get into all the sadness and the tragedy. We're going to look at all the good things that put a smile on our face. And, you know, I come from a family that, of course, you mourn, of course, you cry, of course, you sob, but you also celebrate the person, the stories that made you laugh, the good things that the person had done. And those guys at that funeral site, I don't know Scott Hall personally, met him twice, never knew him personally, but the way everybody describes him, that he absolutely would not want anybody to be crying over him at the funeral. He wants to be remembered, put a smile on everybody's face. And that's what those guys were doing. They were the ones that knew him. They were the ones that were close to him. They have every right to mourn however they wish. And if they pose a picture to show, here, we remember you, we miss you, we love you, we say goodbye, and you smile for the camera, trust me, they're not dancing on his grave and doing breakdancing and spinning all over the place. No, they're all devastated. But, you know, for people to say, I don't feel comfortable looking at this picture, well, then don't look at the picture. Don't look at the picture. I don't think those guys did anything wrong. I think they celebrated their friend and paid tribute. That's how I looked at it. So, okay. Chris Jericho was on Busted Open Radio, and he was asked about Cody Rhodes leaving. I wanted to share this with you because I think it is very, very interesting what he did not say. Chris Jericho, about Cody Rhodes going to WWE, this is what he had to say. Listen to this carefully. It's not long. Listen to it carefully. He says, I was honestly disappointed that he left. But I get it. I've done that many times myself. You know this. We've discussed the reinvention of Jericho many times. I mean, I left WWE in 2017 for basically the same reason why Cody left AEW, from what I understand. He just didn't think he was getting the, I don't know if it's the spotlight or the respect or whatever the word being, but you could just kind of see the writing on the walls. Obviously, now Cody is a bigger star than he's ever been just by changing companies. And obviously, they did a great job of putting him over at WrestleMania, bringing him in at the highest of levels, and now it's up to Cody to do the dirty work, shall we say, and continue the momentum and get that job done. And can he do it? Absolutely. He's a very smart guy. He's a great performer, and that quote is courtesy of 411 Mania. They're the ones that wrote the transcript. They deserve the credit. I will tell you, I found that quote very, very interesting because it doesn't talk about outside projects at all. It doesn't talk about having a better position than just being a character back on TV, being promised a championship opportunity, getting paid a boatload of money. There was a lot of things that Chris Jericho left out in his comments. Basically, if you, I'm not going to read it again, but if you go back and you listen to that again, you would think that the reason why Chris and Cody left in 17 is because they weren't being used that great. And Cody came back because he built up his so high that now he could come back and be that main eventer that he always was. Cody Rhodes was in management in AEW. Cody Rhodes is one of the biggest reasons why AEW originally started. Cody Rhodes was never there just as a talent. And if you listen to what Chris Jericho said, he based everything on Cody Rhodes, the talent. Not management, not power, just talent. And I find that fascinating because you know sometime down the line, Chris Jericho will be back in WWE. I see people today saying that Moxley's contract expires next month. I haven't heard that. I don't know if it's true. But you have people out there that are now wondering, oh my God, could Moxley pick up and leave also? And then you get people that try to convince themselves it'll never happen. Oh, Moxley has said many times the only way he would go back is if he had full creative control and got paid an insane amount of money. The only people that truly know if Moxley would ever go back is John Moxley and probably his wife. None of us are in that position. But I think some people just try to read quotes over and over again. Didn't Cody at some point say he would never leave? And he left. Pro wrestling is a business. The ones who treat it more like a family that are not in the management position are usually the ones that are very, very content at what they're doing. And it's usually people who are on the lower card or part-timers, and they are content with what they have, and they don't need more. But for a lot of these other wrestlers, especially the high-profile ones, this is their life. And when they have family, they want to secure their family so they never have to work or work hard. You know, so Cody's looking out for his. Cody even said, you know, look, I'm not against Meltzer. I saw everybody reporting yesterday as news that, oh, Dave Meltzer reports that Cody Rhodes' contract is very, very complicated and it allows him to do outside projects. Cody Rhodes said that out of his mouth during WrestleMania weekend on like 9 interviews. That's not revealing news. Cody said it out of his own mouth. Once he had a kid, everything changed. You remember when I said that AEW, there's a type of template of a wrestler, somebody who is not married, or if they're married, they don't have kids, or if they have kids, the kids are grown up, and they don't have much responsibility, and they might play video games. And I'm not against video games, but if you see, it's almost like AEW is filled with college frats. You know, like guys that all hang out and go to the bar after the sports bar, and not the ones that go home to change diapers or anything like that. That is a majority of what makes up AEW. And you see that the ones that do have, you know, little ones or maybe have additional responsibilities, they kind of look at it a little bit different. But I will never speak on behalf of anybody. We don't know. We don't know. And guess what? If John Moxley ever went back to WWE, he's not a traitor. He's not a liar. It just, your views change over the years. If CM Punk ever goes back, you know, this is their livelihood. It's we're not their agents, and we're living vicariously through them. But at the end of the day, it's their decisions of what they want to do. And you know, people have to look at it as a business. If you look at it as a business, it softens the blow when people do make decisions. You know, again, why do people still sign with WWE now after 100 releases? Wouldn't they be crazy? How come a lot of wrestlers that are let go don't trash WWE? People wanted Killer Cross more than anybody to trash WWE. Of course, the mask, the suspenders look goofy, but no, he wouldn't do it. I mean, these guys and gals know when they sign the dotted line, they know who they are doing business with. Should not be any surprise. It's just, you know, it's the way it is. All right. Shout out to Nir, as a person who lost his sister when he was 10 years old. Every year, they celebrate her memory with closest friends who are more than family today. Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody mourns different. And, you know, look, for me, I choose to celebrate, and I said it yesterday, but I really meant it. The day that I go, and I don't know how long I have. Who knows? Will I live into my 70s and my 80s, maybe even my 90s? Do I drop dead before I'm 60? I don't know. But all I do know is that when it is time for me to go, and I'm still doing stuff here, or if you all remember me, I don't want anybody fucking crying. I don't want anybody to come up sobbing and report. I want people fucking laughing, you know, hanging out, having a good time, and just remember all the stupid shit that I said and the stories and all the fun moments. I don't want anybody crying. You know, it's just how I am. And, you know, just because you don't sob, everybody handles death differently. And I did not find any disrespect whatsoever in that picture of Scott Hall's friends. Cody was very over tonight, Chad. Cody is very over. Look, the fans who are still very bitter about Cody leaving AEW, those are the ones that cared about him the most. Or they realized how monumental his involvement was to not only start AEW, but to get people in there. You look at Eddie Kingston and you look at others that are in AEW, and a lot of people will bring up Cody Rhodes as part of the reason why they got there. You know, the guy did a lot more than people think, and that's why I think some of the names there refuse to say anything positive. They'd rather be silent than to give the guy his due. Because I think there's jealousy in every business, everybody. There's jealousy in AEW. There's jealousy in WWE. There's jealousy in podcast land. There's jealousy on social media. There's jealousy on your Facebook page. There's jealousy everywhere. It's just a fact of life. But the ones that are very, very upset are the ones that realize how important he was, or they really, really cared. And they just are brokenhearted, like, why wasn't AEW good enough for him to say? Why would he give up on that? And I think that's why you can't base somebody signing on emotion. I feel like I'm with family. Till the contract runs out. My opinion on Liv Morgan, very talented, more popular than I think people realize. They put on WWE auction. She auctioned off the whip that she had at WrestleMania. It sold for $10,000. Now, you know, whoever won it obviously has a lot of expendable money and wanted it. Liv Morgan has a real big cult following online. But she's also decent. She's not ready yet to be women's champion. But you give her time. She's still extremely young. Her career's not going to be over in a year. She's got plenty of time. And when she seasons a little bit more and she puts the rest of it together, she will be one of those higher names on a Naomi level. You know, not yet. She's still years away from that. But Liv Morgan is one of, and look, she's got no controversy. She doesn't get into trouble. She doesn't have any extracurricular activities that would, you know, piss anybody off. She's one of the better people in that company. She is, I like Liv Morgan. I think she's got a really good future in WWE. I would be shocked if she was released, I mean, next couple. I'd be shocked. She's really, really one of the better ones there. I say that as a person. You know, in ring, she's still got ways to go. But she's getting better. She's absolutely getting better. Liv needs to be a manager? Not yet. She's still extremely young. I mean, I understand why you say that. She could be the eye candy manager for two guys. Look, she could be the manager for Humberto and Angel Garza. I think Zelina Vega would fit them a little bit more, maybe because of that Latina, you know, attachment. you know, but not yet for Liv Morgan. So, will the Bucks ever be in WWE? Vulture thinks they'll have a cup of coffee at age 40. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. And listen, I know sooner or later this question is going to come up. So I'll just throw this out there now, and we'll wrap this up in 10 minutes. I know about the Warner Media, you know, deal that apparently is happening with Discovery. And let me just throw this out there right now. Anybody that is trying, whichever side they decide to choose, anyone that's trying to compare this to AOL Time Warner doesn't have a goddamn clue of what they're talking about. There are people that are afraid that AEW and that style of content may not be what, you know, the future corporation, the corporate conglomerates want. And then you have other people that are saying, oh, their numbers are so good that they don't have nothing to worry about. You don't know. No one is sitting in the executive committees. No one is sitting at the stockholder meetings. None of us know. Anyone out there that tries to tell you one way or the other, be concerned, don't be concerned, those are people that are, if I can interpret it in simple English, please talk to me. Please look at me. Please acknowledge me. Please like my stuff. Please read my stuff. Please watch my stuff. Please listen to my stuff. Look, if I, please just pay attention to me. I want to have a conversation. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, so I'm going to dramatize it. I'm going to sensationalize it, and I'm going to make you think, could this happen? Could this happen? Could this happen? Could this happen? So you talk to me. It's just people trying to make themselves look like that they know something more than it. None of us know. No one in 2001 ever envisioned WCW going out of business that quickly. Yes, it was losing money. Yes, the storylines were going to shit. But you look at the ratings, they were still in the twos and the threes. You know, and yes, it's a different era, but anybody pulling that stuff now is just, it's basically them begging you to talk to them or acknowledge them. Do not read into it. I don't know which way it could go. I'm not going to look at individual corporate people and say, well, that person has a history of liking violence and this and that. Or this person, oh, I'm a little bit concerned. She doesn't like it. I saw somebody today commented about one of the Warner executives, a female that likes blood. I mean, oh, weird. 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 What would I do with Asuka and Bayley coming back? Well, Nick, I answered that earlier. I think if Asuka is ready to return, you have her return after WrestleMania Backlash, or you have her return that night. I think Asuka, if she is on Raw, she is the perfect candidate for Bianca Belair after Sonya Deville. The problem is Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is still going to want a rematch, and she should get a rematch, even though they don't always guarantee rematches. But Becky Lynch, based on his stature, should get a rematch against Bianca Belair. Bayley, she's getting close to a return. She's more active on social media. Her name is out there a lot more. She's getting close. Once she returns, then we go from there. But right now, you know, there's so many other people that are above these individuals, and you got tag titles going on there. You can't jump the gun. Becky's not getting a rematch right now is because she has worked her ass off the last bunch of months, and she just completed a major storyline with Bianca Belair that lasted since SummerSlam, and she needed a little bit of a break. And WWE is keeping them apart to put all the focus on Bianca Belair. The spotlight right now, as far as the women's division on Raw, the spotlight is only on Bianca Belair. And that's why she is not on TV right now. She will be back soon, but what do you do once she's back? She obviously is going to, if she just decides she wants a feud with, you know, Liv Morgan, I'm just saying, then it looks ridiculous. Like, why isn't she going for a title? So, you know, it's the longer they wait, the harder it comes across, because WrestleMania should be the end and you move on. Or you have WrestleMania Backlash. So I wouldn't do much for a Klondike bar right now because I'm on keto and I don't have sugar. MJF is signed through 2024. And yeah, I think MJF, if offered a boatload of money, MJF will leave. I think anybody in their right mind would. You know, listen, man. I said this in October of last year, November and December. I've said it once in a while this year as well. I said 2022 will always be remembered as the year of the contract. I said that last year at least a dozen times. 2022 will be remembered as the year of the contract. Did I think Cody was leaving? No. But by when 2022 is over, contracts are going to be one of the biggest focal points in AEW. It was just common sense, because you and I, for 2+ years, were all paying attention and like, okay, 2022 is going to be an interesting year to see this contract's going to be up, this contract's going to be up. All these other people, what is he going to do with those contracts? He doesn't want to come off as the evil Vince McMahon, but meanwhile, he's losing money in the process. But Tony Khan would rather have the perception of being this great, unbelievably awesome guy and spending money as a result. The guy could have saved a lot of money and reinvested in AEW if he wasn't such a nice person. Think about that for a minute. He, instead of canceling contracts earlier, because it's just business, just like these guys and gals would leave for his competitor, I could never cut people's contracts. Because he wanted to be such a nice guy, he lost money. And that's commendable, but at the end of the day, you know, people are going to look back at him and be like, look at all this money that could have been used to reinvest in someone else. You think of some of the people that he decided not to renew, you put all that money together, you could sign another person with that. You think anybody out there would have stopped watching AEW? And I don't want to use names, but if you use people who are not being renewed, like Janela and others, you think people would have stopped watching AEW if those 15 guys, Tony Khan would have cut their contracts early 6 months ago, 9 months ago? You think anybody out there is going to, I in protest will never watch AEW again because they cut Joey Janela. They said they would never do that. Meanwhile, you hear in the background, you know, it's Wednesday. You know what that means? He's a mark. I hear you, Gary. I mean, he's an intelligent guy, but he really is obsessed with how he is perceived. He hates criticism, and he hates criticism from people who matter. You know, look, I'm still going to do Wednesday Night Dynamite. I'm going to take a few weeks off from it. We'll cover it on Thursdays. But, you know, like, they don't show respect to others. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of disrespect going on. More than you know, and it gets masqueraded. But he's just obsessed with how he is perceived by everybody out there. Does Ronda Rousey need to turn heel before the year is over? I would like it. It would be kind of difficult with Charlotte Flair on the same roster as her. But Ronda Rousey, she just needs a mic piece. She needs someone to cut promos for her. She could find it again. A couple of years ago, she ended up putting it together and she was not bad. She's just too soft. She's got to sound irate, angry. She's got to sound like what Mike Tyson used to be. Mike Tyson, it's unbelievable to see Mike Tyson in 2022 and be so friendly and lovable and this and that. And he scared the shit out of us in the Northeast in the 80s and the 90s. And anything, he was so intimidating. Ronda Rousey needs to have that Mike Tyson anger. I'm not saying to bite anybody's ear or anything like that, but she's got to convince herself that she is angry, that she just wants to kill anybody that gets in front of her once those cameras go. And she just comes off too comfortable, too relaxed, too easygoing, guaranteed money. You know, everybody, you know, cheers for her. So I feel good. She's got to get that anger. She gets that anger, she'll be fine. Would Tony Khan challenge Vince McMahon to a fight? No, because Vince McMahon's almost 80. If he did that, even if Vince joked, if he would have joked with Pat McAfee, oh, I'll fight him, I'll kick his ass. You know, he's too old. Ain't happening. Wouldn't surprise me, but ain't happening. What do you mean thoughts on the McMahon-Helmsley faction? Shoved down our throats too much back then. Everything was shoved down our throats. The McMahon-Helmsley era was too much. It just overtook too many storylines at that time. It had its moments, but overall, it just took up too much TV. Yeah, Ronda's attitude, I could beat up everybody, leave me alone, doesn't work. Doesn't work. But WWE, they're stuck with it. They have to go with it. The interesting thing is, you know, what if she loses at WrestleMania Backlash? I don't think she is going to lose, but what if she loses? Two losses in a row against Charlotte, that kind of sends the message like, hey, you know what? Yeah, we're paying you the money, but we don't want to put the belt on you. So, all right, I'm going to bring this home. It's time to get out of here. When contracts are up, Rob, that's when it'll inspire people in AEW to possibly jump to WWE. If WWE is interested in certain people, you know, look, I'll leave everybody with something I said yesterday. I'm sorry for repeating it, but I think it's important tonight, and I think everybody will appreciate what I'm going to say. Tony Khan recently commented about Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee. I'm sure you all read it. And he said, how could any promotion in their right mind not have a spot for Swerve Strickland or Keith Lee? I'm sure you've all seen that comment this weekend. And when you think about it, if you don't think about it and you just heard it, your immediate reaction is, yeah, you know, Tony Khan's right. How does a promotion not have room, especially Swerve Strickland? Like, how would you let somebody like that go? Okay. Think of it like this. Look at the contract that they signed with AEW. If they want to work for this person's promotion, they can. If they want to do autograph signings or conventions, they can. If they want to do cameos, they can. If they want to go on YouTube, they can. If they want to go on Twitch and game, they can. In WWE, none of that is possible. So when Tony Khan approaches Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee and says, look, I know WWE gave you $300,000 or offered you $300,000. I could only give you $100,000. But you could do all these other things and make as much money as you want, and I don't want a cut of it or anything like that. And then they realize, hey, I only have to work part-time. I'm still getting 100 G's. And if I game and I do this and that, I'm still making my money. I don't have to work as much. So it's very easy for Tony Khan to say something like that. But at the end of the day, if Swerve Strickland becomes a megastar and his contract is up, let's say 2 years from now, when his contract is up 2 years, let's say AEW is giving him $100,000. Let's say 2 years from now, his contract is up and he is one of the top stars in AEW. WWE comes to him and says, look, we'll give you $600,000. You think Tony Khan is going to say, yeah, I'll match it. I want you to stay, I'll match it. No, Tony Khan's going to say, look, I can only give you three, but you could do this, 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 and it may be enticing. So you can't compare an AEW contract to a WWE contract. So when a lot of these wrestlers' contracts come up for renewal in AEW, understand that it is a fraction of what WWE offers because they are allowed to make money outside of the company. So when you hear something like that, it sounds like it makes sense, but at the end of the day, when some of these people, that's why 2022 is going to be the year of the contract. When you see some of these people's deals up and AEW wants to re-sign him, if WWE comes in and says, look, whatever AEW is giving you, we'll triple it, what is Tony Khan going to do? It's going to be really interesting. So, and I thank you all for the kind words. That's what I'm here for. You know, I try not to clickbait it. I don't clickbait, but I try to be straight up and tell you like it is. I know it's not as sexy, and I know it's kind of boring, but again, is anyone else out there going to look at the contracts and bring it up that way? No. Everyone will say, how the hell could WWE let this person go? There are so many people from Carmelo Hayes and others that passed up Swerve on the contract, and they're not going to pay him $300,000, $350,000 to, you know, basically be in limbo for the next year or two. So when you have other people who can replace someone, that's why people become expendable. Swerve Strickland is one of the top talents. But when you start thinking about it, why did WWE let him go? There's a lot of reasons why. None of it is Strickland's fault, but, you know, they have other people who could replace him. So, all right, everybody. If you enjoyed tonight's show, I would very much appreciate it on the way out if you could smash that like button. You know, I hear about these algorithms and I research it and I read it and I watch videos learning about it. And you'd be surprised, posting a comment, spending a second and hitting the like button, it actually helps me get a little bit more exposure here. And my goal here is to have this channel get bigger. You know, I know not everybody, you know, checks out the video version of what I do. As long as you check out any version, that's all that matters. But, you know, I like that this channel is growing nicely, and that helps me very much. So I'm going to get out of here. I purposely changed the wording, Jeff, because I just read what you said. I'm going to jet out of here. So for everyone out there, if you're interested, tomorrow night we will be doing an NXT watch party, and it will be interesting because we will have new tag champs tomorrow. Patreon will likely be Wednesday. There's a slight possibility I may have to take off entirely Wednesday. I got family stuff to do, but most likely I'll be around Wednesday night for Patreon. Wednesday Night Dynamite likely will return next week, but this Thursday, don't forget, I will be here with Joe Cronin. We will talk AEW. We will talk about all the current topics in wrestling. We will answer some of your questions as well, and we will have some debate. I'm sure he and I disagree on more than you think. So I think that's going to be a pretty fun episode to do Thursday. So hope you all have a great night. All the best. Thank you for spending your Monday night with me. You know, under the circumstances of having to change up the entire format, I think we had a good show. And I thank you all as always. So everyone stay safe, be well, all the best to you. And I'll catch you hopefully tomorrow in a watch party. If not, Wednesday Patreon, Thursday here on YouTube. Be well, everybody. Have a great night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.